Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. And Sports Radio 66. WFAN New York.
We are back, and as we celebrate our 33rd anniversary as an all-sports talk radio station, we bring in a man who's been an integral part of that for a long time, and we're not going to keep him too long because he is all over the place this weekend. Sweeney Murty will be on from 7 to 11 tonight, and from 9 to 11 tomorrow night, and doing his reports and doing his talk shows and everything else, and his 30 with Murty and his blogging, and even though he is a very relatively young man, gotta conserve that voice, Sweeney, right?
You gotta, I've got to scale back. You know, I've been, you know, we've got a long season ahead. I'm one of the older people here now, so you've got to kind of ease me into the workload here, I guess, as the season gets going. First workout today.
Are you starting
stadium,
to get letters from the? Are you starting to get letters from the AARP yet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a couple of. I was disappointed that the first year isn't free. You know, they want to try and hook you right away. So. Yeah, I wasn't into that one.
Okay. Well, for those who, Yeah, yeah, I know. I got that. For those who, you know, are fans of radio, a little bit of a history lesson on the evolution and training of Sweeney Murty. Tell us a little bit about your career at FAN and where you started and how you wound up and all of that.
Listen, I've been thinking a lot about it actually this week, not just because of the anniversary, but, you know, I turned 50 this week and I walked in the door for the interview for my internship as a 20-year-old. So I spent over half of my life here. Came back as a producer in 1993, and I worked with you and Eddie and Susan and Howie and Bill Daughtry and so many people who kind of helped me figure out what was happening. And I remember I actually recently found a piece in the Penn State Alumni Mag that came out, in 2002. And one of the things I told the reporter, I had just started the Yankees the year before, and I said, you know, I really wasn't ready to cover the Yankees 10 years ago. You know, I recognize that. We all want to do big things right away, but you kind of grow through the process. And you realize that all the things that you learned producing for people and just absorbing how professionals at this radio station did it, that's really huge. You know, and one of the things I take pride in is that I'm not from New York. You know, I'm from a small town in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I don't want to quote the song, but I came here to work in a big city environment where all the people who worked on this radio station are almost all of them are from New York or have big city experience. And I was a small town kid who came here and wondered if I could last here 2 years. I'm still on a day-to-day struggle to try and figure out if I can figure out what I'm doing. But when I look back now and have the ability to see that I've been here this long, it does make me feel pretty good.
And when you came here, did you say New York just like I pictured it? And somebody said, run this across the street from me? Did that ever happen to you?
No.
Let's see if Sweeney gets the reference. You get it?
Is this a Bronx Tale?
No, is Living for the City, Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah, 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 okay, sure.
Do, 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 do. You know, great Stevie Wonder song.
Yeah, there's a great interlude in there. There's some phenomenal stuff. I just remember Paul Simon 1 year thanking Stevie Wonder when he won a Grammy for not making a record that year because Stevie Wonder was winning all the Grammys.
Yeah, and even today there are I was watching the other day where the show was, he's not blind, look at him, did you see him in concert? And it's like, yeah, you know, we've heard that before, but he is, and he just, it's just amazing the stuff that he does.
There was a back when we bought discs, there was a four disc set and came out in 1999 called At the Close of the Century. And it's, I mean, if you don't, you know, there's also wonderful compilations and all the individual records, but that compilation really just blew me away. A lot of great stuff on there and so many other things on the digital spots that have been great too.
To baseball, I was talking to a friend yesterday and I said, you know, you hate to think that any team gets a leg up or gets an advantage because of the health crisis that we're facing in this country. But if you think about it on a Yankee standpoint, Paxton was going to miss time. Well, you got him back. Hicks, Judge, Stanton. Now, again, we're not sure because we haven't seen these guys play yet, but it is possible. And Gardner, who has, you know, fallen back a little bit the second half of the season. Now there's only a third of the season basically that are going to be played. So I would think if all goes, you know, with those names and others, Yankees are actually advantaged by this somewhat.
In theory, they can get to the starting line healthier than they would have gotten to the starting line on March 27th. But, you know, I thought one of the key things that Aaron Boone has talked about this week, engaging the health, relative health of Judge, Stanton, Hicks. He talked about more Judge and Stanton, I think. He talked about the idea of conditioning versus injury. And that means, you know, they're healed, so to speak. Although, you know, Aaron Boone was on with Joe and Evan yesterday and asked specifically if Judge was fully healthy. He talked about where he is, but he never actually said, yes, he's healed. And I thought that was interesting to just not use those words. But getting back to the idea of the injury versus the conditioning, remember, these guys are going to be asked to play 60 games in 66 days after not playing baseball for about 9 or 10 months. You know, a game. And there's a difference between working out and being in shape and playing games. There's a different physical toll, and I think Boone even mentioned yesterday the idea of, you know, that doesn't, you know, just the idea of having all this rest time doesn't mean that anybody is going to play the first 14 or 15 games in a row simply because of that. You have to balance the idea of the short season versus, you know, the health of the players. There's an urgency, but you also have to make sure there's health. One of the things I've talked about with you and with Eddie during all these last couple of months, I think the injury factor is going to really hurt the quality of play here because players aren't going to have time to recover from injuries. To your point, they might get to this starting line faster and healthier, but I don't know that that bodes well for the long haul because one injury really derails everything because of the short.
And the other thing you have to think of, you know, let's speculate if the season had started on time, looking at the division, would the Yankees now be sitting on July 24th with a 10-game lead in the division and the playoffs virtually assured? You know, and right now they're starting 0-0 just like everybody else. So maybe it's not that much of an advantage. I don't know.
Brandon Hyde, the Orioles manager, joked with the reporters yesterday. He says, we're going to be in late July tied for first place. That's, you know, that's an interesting way of looking at it. You know, I looked at the part of the season and I said, you know, think about if you woke up on August 1st and there was a five-way tie for first place in your division. You know, every division is going to be in a five-way tie for first almost on August 1st, you know, as the season starts July 23rd, 24th. So I think there's an interesting part of that. I've started to wonder about the idea of if we get to the starting line, if we're able to complete this season, and there are a lot of ifs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of I'm okay with calling whoever wins this the champion and looking at the records of this season, however they are, and thinking of it as a season with the common sense idea that we all know that they didn't play 162 games, and we all know that that's different. But I started to think of it in these terms. You know, instead of throwing around all this idea that, well, this isn't legit, or they wouldn't have done this, or they wouldn't have done that, you know, I think it's time to embrace the idea that we've waited so long for a sport to return. And if it indeed does return and we can watch this, celebrate what it is. And I thought of it in these terms because I was driving past a high school billboard that was congratulating all its seniors. Like, we think about everything we've told all these kids that are graduating, all the things that they've missed. Like, we haven't, you know, panned it as not, you didn't really graduate high school this year. You didn't really pass third grade this year. You know, we celebrated what they did in these conditions. You know, these players are going through a lot in everybody who's on a team and the organization. Everybody's going through a lot in these conditions to try to put this on and to get to this point and play 60 games. Okay, it's not 162, but you played them in more extraordinary conditions than a lot of other seasons have had. So if you get to this finish line, I think, you know, and I'm not talking about individual records like somebody hitting 400, which I still don't think anybody's going to come close to anyway, because pay attention to batting averages, it just doesn't happen. But I feel like what these players and these teams are trying to achieve should be celebrated in the same way we're trying to tell everybody else. They accomplished something, even if it didn't end the way that we thought it would.
I'll give you a little personal note on that. When I graduated from college, there were huge student demonstrations back then. It was against the Vietnam War. It was not against civil unrest like we have now, although that was part of it. So we didn't have classes for the last, I don't know, month and a half of the year, because there was so much demonstrations and everything going on campus. So we got to choose, you want to do it a pass-fail on certain courses. And I'll be honest, the second semester of my senior year, man, I was gone. I mean, I was skipping classes. I was in plays. I was on the radio. I was doing everything else. I was already out of school. So I opted, you know, pass, fail, and I got my degree and everything. And the degree is legitimate as much as any degree I get is. But, you know, things were different, and we all had to react to the reality of what things were then, just like that's what we have to do now.
Yeah, and like I said, it hit me as I was driving past the high school up here. I was driving past John Jay High School, and I saw the signs again. I said, but we're celebrating what these kids have done because these were extraordinary circumstances. Nobody's telling them it's not legitimate. And I think that if we get through this season, rather than just, you know, throwing up our hands saying, ah, pish posh, it wasn't 162, how about, you know, just getting through this was something, no matter what it was.
Now, the Dodgers, you know, I didn't know this, Eddie told me this, that the Dodgers are actually going to pipe crowd noise into the stadium during games. I don't have a problem with it on TV or the radio. I think it actually might enhance the broadcast, and I'm okay with that. But if you do it while the players are playing to an empty house, how does that affect one team and not the other? So I think the commissioner, somebody's got to say, everybody does it or nobody does it. Do you see it that way? Do you like it? Do you hate it? What do you think?
I don't like the idea of it because I don't know how to regulate it. You know, I mean, if you're talking about in the stadium, I don't like it added to the broadcast either. I mean, I think, listen, this is a historic time, and I think you have to just have a record of what this was. If you're going to have a game without any fans, I think the broadcast has to reflect that. I think the game has to reflect that. I don't like the idea. And if you're talking about, I know as of a few days ago, I checked with the Yankees people, and they had not yet made final determinations on what they're going to do with in-stadium noise, crowd noise, music, PA announcements, things like that. But I feel like this should be reflective of what the actual game is and not try to make it something else. You know, this is like colorizing movies or redoing something from 50 years ago to make it fit today. You know, this is unique. This is an odd circumstance. What we're going through should reflect that, so that when people look back on these games, they'll know that this was from 2020, and this is what it sounded like. This is what it looked like. And, I mean, I don't know if I'm alone in that, but that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah. Well, we'll agree to disagree on that, because I use the example of Bill Maher. You know, he's on Friday nights, and for a while, he's doing the show from his backyard, and he's off this month anyway, but he was doing the show from his backyard, and he's telling his jokes, and there's no audience, nobody to react, and they were dying. And they were the same kind of jokes that he tells when there's an audience. Well, yeah. They've started dubbing in an audience, and they've not done it not to trick people. They've done old black and white clips of Ed Sullivan and, you know, clips of audiences that are obviously not there. Mm-hmm. And there's laughter and there's groaning when he tells a bad joke, and it actually makes it better. It actually enhances it and makes it funnier. So I'm willing to try it. And if it comes off stupid and, you know, totally bogus, all right, get rid of it. But I'd like to just see how they do it. And I think with computers today, man, you can make it sound real. Now, your objection is more that, well, it may sound real, but it's not. And
correct.
It should reflect
yeah.
that. So,
yeah. And I also think if you're going to do it in stadium, then, I mean, how do you regulate that? Do you turn it up on a certain time? Do you turn it down at a certain time? And to your point, you know, that's, you know, is that something that the home team controls? I really think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that it's the really interesting point to me. I think the relievers that Eddie Coleman and I had David Robertson on last week, and David's he's with the Phillies now, and he's working his way back from injury. Hopes to pitch during the end of the year. But you know, I think the late inning relievers are the guys who I'm most interested in seeing, because these are the ones who come in crucial situations, and the crowd noise reflects that. The stadium noise reflects that. They come into these pounding anthems, and the energy they get from the crowd and from the stadium is part of their job. It's what gets the energy level up for them to come in and throw those, you know, what, 8, 10, 12 pitches they might need to get out of one of the biggest parts of the game. And I don't know how they're going to generate that. Zach Britton yesterday said, you know, part of it's going to be like your warm-up is going to have to be better, because more important. I think the idea there is that, you know, those final 8 warm-ups you get with the, when you know that you've jogged into the mound with the music playing and the crowd stirred up, those are going to feel a lot different. So I think those are the players I'm most interested to see how they can do their job and get themselves focused and energized, because their situation is entirely different than anybody else in the field generally.
Yeah, and to your point about the home team and manipulating that, you know, they can even, you know, when the Seattle Seahawks were accused of piping in extra crowd noise to amp up the crowd, you know, it amps up the players too. So right. It does give you a home team advantage. And the other part of it I'm wondering about is, let's say a reliever comes in and stinks and blows a save and he walks mm-hmm. off the field. Are you going to have boo, you know, are you going to hear that as you would with a real crowd? Or are they going to say, hey, we can't put in noise booing our player? So it opens up the Pandora's box, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I would think it's just the idea of the, you know, the, kind of the dull roar type of crowd noise that you know, that you kind of raise up and down. I don't think it would get specific to boos, although I guess cheers for when the home team does something. But I'm not a fan of it. I would, you know, it's, you know, to me, it's like you can use it musically. You know, how beautiful are some of the stripped down acoustic versions of things where they later layer in things? I will tell you, listen, I'm a Buddy Holly fan. There are recordings of Buddy Holly that were released after he died in 1959, and they're all just stripped down, him and his guitar in his New York City apartment. Well, when they were released publicly in the 60s, they added in all the layers of music after the fact, and they made it reflective of the time. It sounds like a lot of surfer music with all the beats and stuff, and that's nothing compared, you know, it sounds nothing like what the original versions were.
Hey, 50
like
years ago,
music.
The Beatles, Let It Be. Phil Spector put in all that wall of sound and everything, and then they released it without the Phil Spector stuff,
correct.
And it's a whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah, so I'm more of the idea, I want it to be reflective of the times and understand that this is just special because of what it was.
Okay, well, Sweeney, we're going to save his voice. He's on a lot this weekend. He's on 7 to 11
tonight. tune in tonight shortly after 7 o'clock. This is July 4th. Dave Rigetti and his catcher Butch Weiniger will join me, and we're going to talk about the July 4th, 1983 no-hitter against the Red Sox. Both of those guys on together to discuss that great game and a lot more stuff as well. So tune in.
And, of course, July 4th is another big day in Yankee history because who was born on the 4th of July?
John Sterling and George Steinbrenner.
You got it. Okay, thank you, sweetie. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Sweeney Murdy will be on tonight, 7 to 11, and tomorrow night from 9 to 11. We'll be back with your phone calls the rest of the way on The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.